Morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today, Thursday, August 29th, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-237-23 through E-251-23. The appellant is 27th Avenue Self Storage with parcel number 1-1089-407-0001-000 through 1-1089-407-0015-000. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Now, have you raised your right hand? Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes,
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all of the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair.
Hey, this is a commercial hearing. We allow an hour for these. So, Mr. McKay, for the first 20 minutes, we'd like to hear from you on your evidence. We'll then ask the assessor to present their evidence. We'll have some questions along the way, and then we will adjourn and deliberate. And as Marisol said, you'll receive our decision within 4 weeks.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
I just have a statement real quick before we start.
Okay.
You'll notice that Mark Peterson isn't with us.
I see that.
He, because of files like this and a few other things, he was let go. If in your review of the file, I'm sure you saw a few inconsistencies and errors. And I would like the board and Mr. McKay to know our numbers and our system are correct. We're not sure what Mark was doing or what he was thinking in some of this. We do stand by our value still. And again, we'll present our evidence that has been presented to you. We would have loved to fix this, but with the restrictions and guidelines with filing these sorts of things, we're kind of stuck in a hard place. So unfortunately, the packet before you is not up to our standards, and we do apologize for this.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. McKay, you may proceed with your presentation.
I'm sure that the assessor's office got notified that I am doing away with the condominium association. It will all be one parcel in the very near future. I will be in the assessor's office with some information from the surveyor to put the condominium, the garage condos, in with the regular units to make them all one parcel. Because I'm done screwing around with the values they try to put on them. I sold 5 units when I first built the condos, and I've purchased all 5 of them back, ranging from 2011 to 2019. The highest, well, we'll do it on a per square foot basis because that's more accurate as far as I'm concerned. Ranged from 29.51 cents per square foot to 31.77 per square foot. The last one I purchased in 2019, 5/23/2019, was 30.05 cents per square foot, or $25,000, and now the assessor has them assessed at $64,000. The owner of that condo had took a year. I had put a price that I would buy it back for. He tried selling it for a year over what I offered him, all five of them, in fact, and none of them were able to sell. I think that's pretty good indication that those parcels are not worth what the assessor has them. I know they've sold other places, but as a general rule, those parcels that are being sold are in facilities that are strictly condominium, garage condos entirely. They're not mixed with small self-storage. And that seems to make a difference with what people want to buy and what they want to do as well. So I've left a sheet here with, sorry, your Marisol, with those numbers on. I've also
is that the same sheet that's exists in your evidence? We have four sales included on your petition.
Well, there's actually five sales: one G2, G3, G4, G6, and G14.
Okay, well, they're not listed that way on the evidence. So
they are on his spreadsheet, George. That's the last page, I believe, of his package.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had. Okay, I guess I've seen that before too. I thought it might have.
I think that's the right one. Yep.
Yeah. Marisol, is that the same as what we have?
Correct.
Okay, good.
Okay. I'll be honest with you. I wish they could sell them, or I could sell them for what the assessor has them assessed for, but that doesn't seem to happen, especially when all five of them tried to do it for approximately a year before they took me up on my offer. So I think that's pretty good evidence that the assessor has it way overvalued, the garage condos.
Yeah, your sales end in mid-2019.
Yep.
Now the state of Washington allows a 5-year look back, and so some of your sales are older than the 5-year look back.
Yeah, all but one. I mean, the one is actually over now as well. But
yeah, as a 1/1/23, the 1/1/23 5-year look back.
Regardless of the age of the sales, they're not arm's length transactions either. So they're not market sales.
They're what?
They're not market sales. They're non-arm's length transactions.
Well, they are, because they tried to sell them themselves to other people.
If the owner buys it back, that counts. Bill, I'm not.
You let me talk.
I am talking, and you interrupted me. So you can stop. Okay? Don't interrupt me, and I won't interrupt you. And we can all have a happy ending here. So, like I was saying, they are not market value according to the standards put forth by the use path, which we live by. Okay? Market value is arm's length transaction, willing buyer, willing seller. Okay, you as a property owner automatically disqualify that. Number one. Number two, I asked the question, what did they have them listed for? What was all included in your buyback? We don't have any of this information. We need this kind of information, if you feel that you are an outlier to what the market is saying, because what you have provided us says that you may be an outlier, but those are old sales, not on swing transactions. So we have to assume that your condos, though they are different in some aspects from the condos we have referenced in our packet, like you said, we take that into consideration, but we have to assume that your condos are moving at the same market rate as all the rest. If you can't provide us with information that disputes that, I can't help you because our information says something different. If you can provide information that says something different, Bill, you know that I will change it. I need information to prove one way or another. The information we have proves our way. Unfortunately, the sales you have are buybacks that are older sales. And so what we have to go by in this packet are the sales. If we were able to receive all the income information from everybody, we would love to do an income approach, but that's difficult to do without information. The assessor's office is only as good as the information that we receive, and our assessor's office does a very good job at receiving and dragging out as much information as we possibly can, because we know we need to defend these numbers. These numbers are defended in our case. I don't feel they're defended in your case, because those older sales, if you could provide us with more information, Mr. McKay, we'd love to look at it.
And so what information are you looking for?
Any other sales that might say that's somewhere near your value, if you're going to go with the sales approach. If you want to go with an income approach and can get us some more information there, we'd love to examine it that way too. We don't really get that from people, and understandably, I wouldn't probably give it either. So, you know, just as much information as you can provide us, we'll look at it and digest it and see if we can come to a happy resolution in this whole case. Because we're not here to screw anybody. And you, as a former mayor, should know how the tax system works. My job isn't to increase values to increase the tax base. That's not what the assessor does. So there's no reason for us to inflate the values. There's no reason for us to do anything such as that. So we're just here trying to do our job as set forth from the Washington State Constitution. If you can provide us information that helps us do that, we love it. And that's what we want to do, because we're only here to treat everybody fair and equitable.
So being mayor has nothing to do with assessed values.
Yeah, because, being a mayor, you
me now.
Sorry, sir. Sorry, I was just going to answer that question.
No, I can say that being mayor has nothing to do with assessed values.
It does, because you deal with the budget, and that budget money comes from the assessor. That's directly involved with the mayor. Isn't the mayor the executive of the city?
But it has nothing to do with putting values on properties out in the...
So you don't get property tax money from the assessor, from the county at all? Okay, so you're involved, Mr. Mayor. So you know the budget process. You know where your money comes from. That's all I'm saying. You know where the money comes from. You know how it's... You should know how it's established. You should know where it comes from.
Bill, I think we're off topic here.
We are. I just assumed that the mayor would know what the budget was and where his money came from. Bad assumption.
Okay, can we get back to the hearing? So in looking at your five sales on that document, only one of them is within the five-year look-back period. So it would be 2018, 19, 20, 21, and 22 are the 5 years of the look-back. So your sales, you only have one that's within that period, and one sale is not enough to establish value.
I understand the look back period. I was going to say that I was a commercial lender for quite some time. I understand appraisals and all that kind of stuff very well. I didn't learn it from being a mayor, though, and the mayor isn't going to understand or learn it. That's up to the city manager to do that kind of stuff. Anyway, if you look at all five of the sales, they cover a 8-year period, and the purchase that I purchased them for is almost exactly the same per square foot, only a couple cents difference. Yes, they are beyond the time period, but the fact that all five of them took my offer instead of selling them in the open market, which they had the right to do, kind of establishes some kind of market. They had.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Are you, if I were to come to you today and offer you, I'll just use the first one as an example, E-237-23, you have it valued at 23,080 land and buildings and improvements. Are you willing, if I were to come to you today, would you sell that condo to me for that same price?
I won't sell them for any price because I'm done doing that. It was a pain in the butt because.
Yeah, I hear you.
They thought they owned the whole facility, not just their garage condo. And so I'm done playing that game.
Okay.
So I would not sell them for, I don't care what price.
Okay. Could we skip to the last one, which I think is the balance of your property?
You sure?
Because I think all the rest of them are based on those sales that you just described, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Could we go to the last one then? E-251-23.
I don't have it by that. What number would that be?
Well, it's the one with all the 6,297-87 or 873, the big one.
So I've given you an altered number there, based on more on today's sales. I've increased that to 7,606,640. So with the garage condos and the whole nine yards, I increased it to $8,010,040.
$8,010,040. Okay.
Now,
which is higher than the assessor's value, right?
No, that's lower.
No, that $8 million number includes all the garage condos too.
Right. So the million, the assessor's value is $8,822,180 for everything.
Okay.
However,
now you'd indicate you're going to consolidate them into a single parcel, and that would be sometime in 2024, correct?
Yes, sir.
It
has been approved by the city. Now I just have to go to the county and get it approved.
Right. But for your next valuation period would start 1/1/24, which would be on the same basis as what we're looking at today. So if you come back next year and appeal your values, it will be on these all these separate individual properties, just like it is today.
Okay.
In 25, it will change.
Okay.
George, can we say something to that?
That's why I'm
talking.
Since we don't know exactly what Mark was doing, we want to go back and look at what Mr. McKay was saying in taking out those condos out of the full unit valuation. I want to make sure that we did that. Is that what you indicated, Mr. McKay? That we failed to, or that we included the condos, the separate condos with the whole unit, and that we didn't take that into account. Was that my understanding?
I'm not sure exactly what you're saying, but if you mean that it's all under one parcel, he just made the explanation that that won't count until 2025.
Right. But so what I was saying is we currently are taking those condos and the full unit. And because of everything that's happening for you, you're consolidating it. But as of right now, it is what it is. And we didn't take into account, or we didn't take those condo units out of the account of the full unit. And you were seeking for us to account for that.
I wasn't seeking for you to account for it right now. No.
Oh, okay. I thought that's what you were looking at.
No, I'm just,
and that's something that we will look at, on the file.
I'm just forewarning you that that's what's coming down the road is all I was doing.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was, that we addressed, some of your thoughts and concerns in what we were doing.
So the other point that I would like to make is I was given by you guys a sale of City View Storage in Richland on 4/26 of 23, based on the price per square foot. If you were to value just the mini storage and not the garage condos, if you were to price my property based on that price per square foot, it would be a million three basically less on the average based on that sale. So I just need to point out that I've actually priced it above that, by if based on the number I just gave you, which is $1.4 million above what that City View value was. So City View price of my property based on $78.72 a square foot would be $6 million, basically $300,000. And I based it at $7,600,000. So I have also gone, since I've received this from you guys, I've gone out and tried to get offers. And the most I've been able to get as an offer for the property was $8 million. So
that would, and that includes the garage condos?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You know, I haven't listed it, but I went to several people. I'm on the Washington State Self Storage Association board. So I'm on there with 14 other people who have, you know, anywhere from 2 to 40, 50 units or properties that they own across the state and several other states, getting values from them. And that was the best offer I could get from one of them.
Is it your intent to sell the property then?
No. Simply wanted to get some kind of value so I knew where I was at, and if the assessor's office was accurate, or which I didn't think they were, and obviously they are high. That's about where I priced it at, was just a little over $8 million.
Okay. Did you have anything further at this point?
Well, on the sheet I gave you, the assessor wanted some tax return information. So I did tax return information on the back of the sheet that I'm leaving with Marisol. And I added back expenses like depreciation, travel expense, mileage expense, a few of those kinds of things, so that you could get to it. One other thing I guess I'd like to point out is that there are two different entities here that's part of 27th Avenue Self-Storage. There's a 27th Avenue Self-Storage Properties, and then there's a 27th Avenue Self-Storage Inc. The Inc. is the management company, and based on, as I talk with these guys on the storage board with me, when property is purchased, most of the time they divide up the two entities and put two different values on the two entities. The Inc. is usually somewhere around 30%, give or take. So as high as 40 and as low as 20.
And percent of what?
Percent of the total sale.
Oh, okay.
And then the properties is valued at either somewhere between 60 and 80% of the total sale value.
Okay, so what you're saying, I want to make sure I understand you. So what you're saying is there's an asset portion of the sale, which you just said was 60 to 80% of the sale.
Right.
And then there's an income-based approach value of the sale for the management of the properties. Is that correct?
They put an income approach to the whole value, but then they divide off the
real
portion and the asset portion, and divide it off anywhere from 20 to 40 to the operating entity, and the remainder to the asset.
Yeah, and that's just a management judgment on their part of how they want to divide the sale.
But again, well, that not exactly, because the management portion does have a value.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is, when say they offered you sold your unit for $8 million, to say, like you were saying, and so the buyer on their side has to distinguish that on their books, right, that some portion of it is real property, right? The
right.
And that's what we're talking about today, and the rest of it becomes something called goodwill, because there's no tangible value to what's that management portion, right?
Right.
So that in that decision, that's something the buyer does to reflect on their books, and that's based on their judgment of how they divide up that $8 million. And as you say, it varies, and there's a range, and that's because the management judgment is different. Some people want a higher asset value, but then they have to pay higher tax on that real property value. Some people want a lower asset value, so they pay fewer taxes on the property transfer and put more into goodwill. So it's just a matter of whatever, you know, they and their tax accountants work out. So,
and for these reasons, George, and I know we've mentioned in the past, that's why the appraisal industry has standards on how we apply the income approach, and that's the way we do it. These are the standards for the industry. I understand Mr. McKay's argument, and it is noted, but unfortunately, that's not the way the valuation portion of the income approach works. And a lot of the reasons are for, as George stated, so.
So if that's the case, then why are some of the other assessor's office on the west side of the state acknowledging that and lowering the value of the asset itself?
I can't speak for the other assessor's offices. There's 39 independent assessors with 39 different opinions. And being one of the only certified appraisers in the state as an assessor, I would say that we're doing it right.
Imagine that.
Bill, I think, Bill McKay, or Mr. McKay, I think what he's saying is, you just gave Marisol some numbers. Again, we can't see those right now because they're outside of the evidence period, but you might want to provide that to the assessor's office and then have them run the income approach What cap, you know, when you do an income approach, one of the key factors is something called a capitalization rate.
That's right.
And what capitalization rate are you using?
I use 7.5, and the reason being is because my property is now 20 years old. It was built with wood stick framing instead of steel framing. The property has no sewer to the property. What's the other? There's another one.
Probably no sprinkler systems either.
No. Yeah, anyway, and so the other thing is I don't sell insurance. I don't sell boxes and supplies like most of them do. You know, it's just strictly storage. And so,
okay.
In actuality, you'll see on this sheet that I gave her, my 23 ordinary income, based on the tax return, was actually $8,000 less than it was in 22.
Mm-hmm.
Based on occupancies, my occupancy has gone way down. There are several new facilities that have just opened up. I've got several move outs coming this month. So.
Okay.
And the rev and the problem with that is when you got those issues, it's very tough to raise rents. You'll start losing people.
So on the income approach, typically what we've seen in the past is a 5-year average. So you do 5 individual fiscal years and then average them so that you don't get into this upsy downsy thing. And using one down year, for instance, would, you know, if you just use one down year like you're talking about now, that would negatively influence your value of your property. By using a 5-year average, it tends to, things tend to level out and you get a better sense of what the value is.
If I did that, you would see that it's on a decline, on particularly occupancy. During COVID, when everybody was getting their checks from the government, I couldn't keep an empty unit. I had a waiting list the whole time. I was 100% full most of the time. Right now, I'm at about 94%, and after the end of this month, I'll be probably about 93%.
Okay. So, yeah, that's just the opposite of what we saw in the hotel industry. You know, the hotel industry was hurting during COVID. So.
Right. Well, the reason for that was because of stupidity in an open air self-storage facility, you didn't have the same issues that you do.
Yeah, right. You weren't, not a lot of people contact there. So, okay.
Yeah. I'd like to let Mr. McKay know we are watching that. And right now, the values that we're dealing with are still values that are reminiscent of the COVID values. But, you know, we are aware that there are a lot of mini storage units coming in. Rents aren't going up necessarily. Occupancy rates are going down. We are starting to see that. So we are aware of these things. Unfortunately, these things don't affect the values that we're talking about, but they certainly are looking like they're going to affect the values in the future.
Okay. Mr. McKay, I'd like to hear from the assessor at this point, then we'll circle back. So who's presenting?
I am.
Okay.
So before we get started, I wanted to, we have on, let's see, it is case E248023. We have the wrong assessor's answers numbers. They should be.
Okay, what page are you on?
It's my own page. On his, it's going to be on the addenda, and it's, let's see. E248. There's no page numbers on ours.
Yeah, I have E2, E3723 through E5251-23. Is it so? Which one is it on?
It's on E2-4823.
So towards the back then.
So, George, can you figure out which of the 15 we're talking about?
Yeah, it's E250 or 247.
248.
248, excuse me. Okay, I've got it.
So we have
it's actually towards the, yeah, towards the middle of the addenda.
Oh yeah, sorry, there's no page numbers.
That might be helpful in the future if you guys could
provide page numbers on here. It's the 11th page down.
You're gonna see our packets. You're gonna see our packets change quite a bit.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
So on that one, we have down 79,000 for the improvement, 79,830. It's actually 81,920.
Which one? Long haired one?
Mm-hmm. And then the overall number. Total, it, we have down on this one that's incorrect is 82,890, and the actual number is 84,980.
Okay.
So I just wanted to correct that before we go any further.
Okay.
We divided ours kind of into two separate sections, one for the individual units and one for the
self-store. Are you talking overall? You have an overall value, right, that you're using. Is that number reflected in the overall value?
It's, yeah, the wrong number is in the overall value.
Okay, so I'm trying to, okay, so, I just want to make sure I understand what you've done here. So you have a cost approach. And you have a sales approach, and I thought I saw something look like an income approach, but I don't know how you did that one. But so
yeah, I'm not going to get into income approach. That's not.
Yeah, that's fine.
There.
So what are you relying on? What, the sales approach?
We're relying on the sales approach. I did want to address the cost approach because we weren't able to do one. This came up last year. When this was around, we sent on here in our packet, Mark said that he sent three emails requesting access to the property. I know I sent three emails last year, and I did have them listed in the packet last year. I don't know where, if Mark's is, I didn't see Mark's in here. We also sent Oliver out last year, and he was not able to go into the facility. They wasn't allowed. Also last year, the owner told us, that he told the board and everybody here that all we had to do was give him a call and he would let us in. And then I called on, March 27th of last year and he declined to let us in and said that we would just raise his rates. We are missing a building on the property. So it makes it hard to do an income approach if we don't have the building. Also, we're not able to check on the condition of everything either on there, make sure our numbers are correct. So
here's the problem I'm having with.
Fortunately, when we get situations like that, we just have to estimate and go by the best that we can.
Okay, here's the problem I'm having. I'm having a hard time understanding where you value the individual properties, right? I'm seeing all your comparable sales and such, but do you have a reconciliation of your valuations of your sales to the valuations?
Well, we did them all. Valuation? We did them all individually. We
usually see a reconciliation of the values.
Yeah.
Like I said, George, this packet is not great.
Subpar. Okay. Well, I've got to put something in the, you know, each one of these things is going to have an individual decision letter.
Yes. Chris has it for you. So I'm looking through the addenda on a digital copy of it, and you can see on each of the answers, because there is an assessor's answer to each one of these petitions. You know,
right.
Correct. And then you can see under number two on each of those, the land value, the improvement value, and the total value. Those are what our reconciliation would be in those instances. And that's why Steve mentioned 248, because that was the one where those numbers did not line up. But the reconciliation for those that matches what we have in PACS are those updated numbers that he gave you.
Okay. Marisol, will you make a note of that? So in the decision letter, you have to list the individual assessor's values. And on this E-248, there's been a change. Okay. Proceed.
Okay. So let's see. Jump over to, then we're going to jump to the cells comparison approach. That's going to be on.
And just a note on Mr. McKay's assessment of the sales. We got to remember these are not perfect one-for-one matches, and there needs to be adjustments, condition, quality, all the above. So it's not just a straight line. We're going to average this out and go for it. So that's what Stephen's going to go through here a little bit, I think.
Okay, but you're as far as the board is concerned, the valuations that you listed as your assessed values, you are sticking to those valuations. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, so what page? I have some sales on page 21.
21, and this is for the value of the E-251. This was the main
Okay, this is for the self-storage units, right? Not the condos?
Not the condos, okay. The self-storage units.
Okay.
So we have listed on here, let's see. So we put down, we have five different cells here. The first one, I think is the most comparable. It's on 4th Avenue. It's somewhat near Columbia Center Boulevard. It's right near Hanson Park.
Okay.
It's sold for $5,600,000 in August of 2022. It's pretty similar in land size. It was built in 2006, where the subject was built from 2005 to 2015. And it's the same quality as the subject.
Okay.
They have
so,
no.
So you have a 159 price per square foot. Now, has that been age adjusted?
Yes. That one has been time adjusted. It's on the in the chart there. So it was what 5,600 when it sold, and it's been time adjusted to 5,700.
Oh, okay, I see it. Okay, all right.
Yeah, on page 21, you'll see all the adjustments.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's just time adjustment, no condition, quality, or age adjustments,
just,
right?
Yeah, just time adjustment.
Okay.
And that comes out to $159 per square foot.
Okay.
It has, this facility does not have any climate controlled units. It does have some power lines that, and an odd shape that kind of reduces its usability.
You're talking about cell one?
Cell one, yes.
Yeah. And how does that compare with the subject? Do they have climate controlled? Is it superior or inferior to the subject?
We put it down as the same.
It's comparable.
Equivalent. Okay. All right.
So then we'll jump to cell two. Cell two is on Jericho Road. This one is on Jericho, about halfway between Queensgate and King. It was built in 2005. Again, the subject was from 2005 to 2015 because they kept adding. It is smaller than the subject and only has one climate controlled unit, and that is associated with a cell phone tower.
Okay.
It's sold.
Okay, go ahead.
It sold less than a year before the assessed date, in March 30th, so. And
do you consider it to be superior or inferior to the, or equal to the subject?
It's superior. We consider this superior. Yes.
Okay. And that's obviously reflective in the price per square.
Right, sale. Right.
At $181. It's, we have it down as more than twice the amount that he has. So then the third one is on Gage. This one sits across the street from Costco. It's behind the AAA offices. It's a little okay. It's a little older. It doesn't have an office. It doesn't have a live-in manager for security. And there's no climate control units. It sold 12 months before the assessment date of the subject for a time-adjusted price of $160 per square foot.
Do you consider this one to be superior, equal to, or inferior to the subject?
We have it down as superior.
As what?
It sounds, based on what you just said, it doesn't sound superior.
Yeah, it sounds inferior.
Again, I'm afraid this packet has failed us again. Because I agree with you.
Okay.
So those are the best three. We also have the one on 10th Avenue. It's fairly new.
I'm inclined to throw that one out since it's so far after the assessment date.
And if you
it's for reference anyway,
be to the advantage of the appellate.
It's for reference, and we didn't. Yeah.
Okay.
We stand on the when we have three like this, it's pretty easy to stand on those.
Okay. Now you had something on Dallas Road too, right? Or wait a minute, what? You have Dallas Road.
That one is. It's a multi-cell, so
it gets thrown out since it's a multi-cell. Really.
All right. So what is your average value per square foot on your top three then?
Okay. 62. Just in my head, I'm at 162.
Top three?
Yeah,
it's either happening. Plus 181, plus 160.
Somewhere around 170 or 160 something.
163.
166, 167.
Not bad for my head.
166, 167.
Yeah.
Okay. And the subject is what?
We what's her appraised?
The subject.
Yeah. What's your valuation on a square footage basis?
Oh, per square foot.
I think.
Well, that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's on this one. This one is $88 a square foot.
Okay. So the subject is quite a bit underneath your sales comps, then. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes, lower than your normal
65%. Okay, all right. Continue. Now, this is for the combined units, right? This is for the combined unit.
This is just for the one parcel that has most of the property on it. It's not
This is for the combined self-service or self-storage unit.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Okay, then we have to deal with the garage condos then.
I'll jump over to the garage condos.
Is there a summary page?
For hit on his, yes, he has. He goes into it here on page 15.
Oh, okay. What am I looking at? Okay, that's the same. It's okay. 15.
Sales approach on page 15.
Okay.
He doesn't. I did some for non-adjusted because he doesn't do an adjusted thing. The range is gonna be $117.73 to $195.92.
Okay, run that by me again. 117.
117.73 to 195.92. These are for the sales.
Right.
The adjusted one is going to be, if you adjust it, it's going to be $122.57.
Okay, so wait a minute. When you say adjusted again, you're talking just time adjustment?
Just time adjusted, yeah.
Okay. Okay, and it's what now?
It's $122.57 to $198.94.
Okay.
The mean is going to be 155. This is adjusted. And the median is going to be 148. And he has the non-adjusted mean and median on the.
Okay. All right. And the subject is what?
The subject is, we combined all the condos.
That's fine. But what's the average value of the?
The average value of the condos is going to be the range. The range is going to be $88.23.
81.
Or yeah, $81.23 to $82.09.
$82 and what?
9 cents.
9 cents. Okay.
You want the mean and median? That's right. 81.90.
81.23 to 82.09.
Yes.
So again, I'm understanding that to be that the subject is under the valuations of your comparable sales.
Yes.
Okay. What can you tell me about the comparable sales? Are they superior, equal to, or inferior to the subject?
I would say the last one, Edison, that one is equal. And then the other two, they're just, the other two are newer complexes.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean they're superior. I mean,
no, they're not.
You can build a piece of crap. And
yeah, no, I understand. The one on Curry Street, which is Lux Armor or something like that. Right. That one, they are Class S, which is
lower.
Lower. It's engineered.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm looking at Curry Street, and they all say, well.
I told you wrong. It's the Well House one. That's Class S.
Right. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Okay, and that's inferior is what you're saying?
Yeah, inferior in framing class, yes.
Okay. Well, and amenities and, you know.
Amenities are okay,
and then the Curry Street ones.
The construction is different.
Yeah.
The construction, as you can see from the pictures, it's corrugated steel as opposed to the subject being the stone.
Okay, block, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so the Curry Street ones you were saying are superior, inferior, or equal?
Inferior.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes it. Okay. So for the most part, so what I'm understanding is for most of your comparable sales, most of your comparable sales are inferior to the subject. Is that correct?
Yes.
Except for that one.
May I make a comment?
And to indicate where we got our classes from, it's Marshall and Swift. And if you go to the Marshall and Swift portion of the packet, you can see how we came to our class indications.
Okay.
So there's always, you know, debate on, well, this is good, this is average, whatever. This is, you know, these are the standards. This is what we go by. And so they call it, the subject is superior as class S. That's
so you're considering the subject as class C?
That's correct.
Yes.
All right.
May I make a comment on that?
Sure, Bill. Or Mr. McKay, go ahead.
The insurance companies would not agree with that because mine are stick framed with sheetrock. Those are steel buildings. Steel
again. Again, I understand the argument. I do, but there's a certain standard that appraisers have to abide by, and we're not insurance companies. We don't do that. We're appraisers. We place value on the homes, on the properties, and this is the standard in which we live by. And it's the standard nationally. Marshall and Swift is a national cost service. So whatever the insurance companies has to say, whatever everyone else has to say, Marshall and Swift is the industry standard. So I guess you can argue with them.
I could finish. The fact of the matter is my insurance is much higher than those and consequently decreases the value of mine. Anyway.
Well, look, Mr. McKay.
Your insurance is higher because your value is higher.
Mr. McKay, so you probably have insurance that is a replacement cost of the facilities. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And what value does your insurance company put on those units?
I didn't look at that before I came. I would not be able to give you an accurate number. I'm sorry.
Well, how about for the combined, for your self-storage units, the combined of the self-storage units? Do you have a sense of what the insurance value is on that?
It runs in my mind. It's somewhere between 5 and 6 million.
Okay.
If you can provide that for us, we'd love to look at it and adjust accordingly.
Okay. Anything further from the assessor?
If you want to reference the market that Mark did research, he's got the market data there with his charts and stuff in the back, just the overall market and its current status as of the valuation date. Other than that,
we also looked at his sale. It's not comparable. I went out there myself. Mark did a few pages here on page 9 through.
This is on 251.
Yeah, the last 251. Yeah, Mark did from page 9 to page 12, talking about his one that he brought up in off of Queen near Queen's Gate.
Okay. Anything further?
We're good.
No.
Okay, Mr. McKay, anything further from you?
Well, I'd just like to point out that my property values have increased 114 point, let's see, 114.2% in the last 2 years. I find that kind of overzealous. That puts me from about $42,000 to $90,000. In taxes, this year alone,
well, let me ask.
I'm over $70,000. You know, I know Mr. Spencer, when he ran for office, he was going to try to keep the prices, you know, the valuations down because.
No. I will not allow that. I will not allow that garbage. I will keep, I comment, honestly, Mr. McKay, I heard you said that last year, and that is why I'm here today.
I wasn't
you
here
are spreading lies and I deceit. I told you from the very beginning, Mr. McKay, you be year. Quiet, please. I am speaking. You are spreading lies and defamation right now. You are spreading lies and defamation. I am sick of it, Mr. McKay. Number one, I told you from the very beginning, I would only place things at market value. Bottom line, that's the state constitution. Keeping them artificially low, that's ridiculous. I would never make that kind of a statement, and I'm offended, and you are under oath, and my faith, and oh my goodness, Mr. McKay, I cannot believe you said that.
I can tell you where you said it.
What?
I'm taking pizza over on...
I said I would always keep you at market value and treat you fairly.
I'm done.
Good. I'm done with you too. Happy ending.
I can shove it up your, you know what.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, with that, I think we'll adjourn the hearing, Marisol.